Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, welcome to Guts Church. I'm Bill Shear. I pastor the church. And I want you guys to know that Sandy probably beat you tonight because she gave her $1,000 to the nightmare. It was, you have to text. You have to text the amount, so $1,000, guts, space NM, which is a cool way to, for nightmare, okay? NM, and $1,000. Hey, do you guys want to meet the early adopter right here? Sandy Shear. Somebody's walking her through something on her phone. So disappointing. So, hey, welcome to Guts Church. I'm glad you guys are here. Let's welcome everybody watching online, okay? Because we have our online people. Hey, do you guys mind if I pray for you? Hey, if you're here tonight and you need prayer in your life, and let me just tell you that the comedy's over now, okay? This is serious business. So the fun's over, all right? Yeah, I know you're having a blast, but this ear thing is messing with me. But what was I talking about? The fun's over, all right? If you're in here tonight, and I'm just telling you by the Spirit of God, God's going to do something in your life, and you need prayer for something going on in your life, you're making a decision, you're at a point of maybe an intersection in your life where something's going on, or you need prayer for your health or your finances, your marriage, something. You need prayer. You got something going on, and it's like right now I need prayer. I want you to stand wherever you are, okay? Just stand. If you need prayer, I'm going to pray for you, okay? And let's believe God, because I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God, and I'm telling you, there's going to be words of knowledge and words of wisdom. There's going to be prophetic words. There's going to be discerning of spirits. I mean, and here's what discerning of spirits does, okay? It doesn't just say, well, that's a bad situation, that's a good situation, okay? Discerning of spirits, where God illuminates what's demonically happening around your life. And let me just help you, and what he's doing in your life. And let me tell you, we don't fear when something demonic is happening around our lives. Because why? Because the name of Jesus is above every name. Because we've got the answer and we've got the solution, and this is going to be dynamic for you tonight, okay? So as I'm praying, when that point hits you, that while you're standing, that it comes up in my prayer, to just, I'm telling you, grab a hold of it and receive it by faith. Does this make sense? God, I just thank you now in the name of Jesus for supernatural results as a part of this prayer. God, I thank you that as we speak, it's not we who speak, but Christ who speaks in us. And God, I thank you right now for deliverance in people's lives. God, I thank you right now that you promised that you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but that of love, power, and a sound mind. God, I thank you for decisions that are being made right here and right now. God, we know the right way to go. We don't drill dry wells. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for supernatural health to come into people's bodies, for peace to come into their mind and their emotions. God, I thank you right now pertaining what's happening this week in people's lives. God, I thank you it's good and not evil, a future and a hope. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for supernatural results from how we operate with our hands. God, I thank you right now for a breakthrough in people's finances, a breakthrough in their resources. God, I thank you that what the enemy has tried to hold back, God, I thank you right now that it springs forth, that rivers of living water will flow from their lives. And God, I thank you right now for devastating news to hell, God, that's tried to impede upon these people's lives. God, I thank you right now that we'll run and not grow weary, we'll walk and not faint, we'll mount up as with wings as eagles, and we will soar in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that we are firmly rooted and grounded in faith in this local church, and those who are planted in your house, God, will flourish in your courts. And God, I thank you that the issues we're standing for represent those courts. And God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for a gift of faith in people's lives to trust you no matter what it is. God, I thank you that people that have almost given up hope in situations in their life, in health, in litigation, in finances, in whatever, God, I thank you right now that you're the author, that Jesus is the author and finisher, the author and finisher, the author and finisher of our faith. And God, I thank you right now that our faith, it's added unto our life according to our faith. And we believe and we trust that we are absolutely saved. We're absolutely delivered. We are absolutely healed. We are absolutely set free. And God, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And God, I thank you for supernatural freedom in people's lives. We are not leaving here bound. We are not leaving here in fear. We are not leaving here in debt. We are not here leaving here in lack. God, I agree with Scott Houston tonight that we're kicking them, stopping a mud hole in the lack that's in our lives. And God, that rivers of living water will spring forth. And God, I thank you for restitution. God, I thank you what the enemy has taken, he's got to repay seven times. God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that we're the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. That greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. And God, I seal this by your spirit with your promise that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And God, I thank you for that availing much stature that's in our lives now in Jesus' name. And everybody wholeheartedly said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five. All right. Hey, you guys have a Bible? Who's got a Bible in here? You got a Bible on your phone? You got a Bible? Let me see your Bibles. Hey, let me see your Bibles, okay? You know, you got Joel, you got all these people say, this is my Bible, and I am who it says I am. Okay, listen to this. Hey, everybody say this. This is my Bible. I'm not going to jack with it. I want all of God I could get. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, have you been reading that Bible? That's the key. Okay, just so you know, having a Bible, you got to read it, all right? And then read it, you got to make yourself do something. You got to make yourself enjoy it, okay? Because the Word can entertain you. And you'll say, well, wait a second. Let me just tell you, entertainment's not evil. My working definition of entertainment is something that gets your attention and keeps it, that grabs your attention and holds on to it. That's what entertainment is, okay? And so what we've got to do is we've got to look at this and we've got to know that we've got a Bible. Man, I have a Bible, and I'm reading that Bible. And I want all of God I could get. I know that I am boring in, man, I'm drilling in to the precepts, to the concepts, to the philosophies, to the promise of God that God has for me. And I'm going to enjoy it. And you got to keep this in mind because the Word, what the Bible is God's Word. And what the Word does is it cultivates and it enriches what's inside of us. See, you read the Word and then you go to the mirror and say, well, I don't see anything different, because we don't live by what we see. Write that down. I don't live by what I see. See, let me just tell you right now, the circumstance that y'all stood for tonight has to change in the name of Jesus. And you'll say, well, it isn't that easy. No, it is that easy. And you'll say, why? It's because, let me tell you something, I say so. And you'll say, well, wait a second. Back that up in the Word. Everybody say that. I got the power of life and death in my tongue. I'm speaking life over you. I'm speaking life over your situation. You hear that? What the enemy's meant for bad, God will turn it to good. And that's what God does. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the third chapter. And you know what? We're going to read this. I'm going to preach this like you want all of God you can get. Are you with me on that? Man, a simple message tonight. But let me just tell you, and that's what Wednesday nights are. Wednesday nights, it honestly, what I'm doing is Wednesday nights are becoming like the second mile. It's ministry training. It's discipling. Okay, that's what this is. We are making disciples on Wednesday nights. And what do disciples do? If you're being made a disciple, you make disciples. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to reproduce leadership in this room. Everything rises and falls on leadership. The Bible, the Jethro came up to Moses and said, man, this is way too much work. You got to find leaders, man. You got to find people that are capable. You got to find committed people. And what the New Testament translated to was find men that are faithful and full of the Holy Spirit. Okay? People that are going to show up with the right attitude. People that are going to show up as full of God as they could be. The last thing you guys need me to do is to get up here and just have a good word for you. I don't just have a good word for you. Man, I got all of God that I can give tonight. See, that's how I approach this. And I'm passionate about this. Man, I obsess over this. Man, it's important to me. And let me just tell you why. Because God's got you on a track in life. And what the enemy wants you to do is get you out that door, get you in your truck, and get you off track. Man, see, the bottom line for me, what is faith for me? It's real easy. Faith is we overcome. That's what faith is for me. Faith is being and staying in the right place. Man, what the enemy wants to do is the enemy wants to do everything he could do to pry you out of the place that God has for you. And when I'm talking about place here, I'm talking about the local church. Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, hey, wherever you go, man, I'll build that place and the gates of hell. No, he said the church is what I'm going to build. And the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. That's why it's so important for you to be here. And that's why it's so difficult for you to commit to it. That's why you can find every little excuse and every little thing not to be here. It's not that big a deal. Man, church is wherever I am. Can I throw out a big fat bull on that? Do you mind if I do? If I'm just real with you? Church isn't wherever we are. Church is where we come together. Church is where our community, church is where our local body is. Man, my hand didn't decide to take the night off tonight. No, it's attached. See, and that's what our commitment is, that we're attached. Man, how many of you guys for real? I mean, just stop for a second and understand. Are you better because you're here? Are you better when you're away? Man, for years, Mason and I talked all the time. He's like, I want to find one person that leaves the church and does better. Man, it doesn't happen. Man, yeah, you know what? And you can find another. There are great churches around here. God, I thank you. You're blessed Church on the Move and Victory. God, you're blessed the Church At, which is a funny, Guts used to be a funny name. It's not anymore. The Church At is a funny name. Okay, but bless those funny name churches out there. Believers Church, all those other guys. But listen, bless them. But let me just tell you, if you're planted here and you've transplanted your life here, it's not that funny. Then and you uproot your life and you go plant it somewhere else, there's gonna be a shock on your system. And let me tell you, if you ever go do that, I hope you can handle the shock. Because there's some trees or bushes or something that can't. But I'm telling you, man, God wants you getting better. That's why we put a priority on God's word. It's primary for our lives. God's word. It's so important, man, to understand that what that gives us is wisdom and understanding. What it does is it gives us solutions. Man, Taylor and I were just talking yesterday. He said, Dad, everybody, it's just so amazing. Everybody can find the problems. Man, if you're a problem finder, I don't need to pay you. I don't, because everybody can find the problems. Solutions, that's different. Man, to be on staff at this church, there's three things that you have to be. You got to be able to communicate. I'll tell you what I'm attacking on our staff is silos. People that are holding information. People that are gathering and keeping information and not sharing it. No, you know what? Man, I'm coming in. My switch is on. My fuse is lit, and it's very short on people that are silos that are leaders in this church and around me. Man, I'm telling you, I want this to be full disclosure. Man, you got to be a problem solver. You have to be. Man, and why? Because let me tell you, I'm paying these people with your tithes. They work for you. They work for me. Why? Because I tithe. See, that's so there's food in my Father's house. There's solution in my Father's house is what is what the word says. See, and we look at this and we have to understand now that, man, we got to be problem solvers. Man, I'm going to be a problem solver. The nightmare, we need 400 volunteers every night. We're doing it 8 times. We've got 3,200 ministry opportunities that are open for people right now. How many of those boxes can we write your name in? How many boxes you want, Tom? How many boxes you want, Frago? Joel, how many boxes you want? See, the bottom line is, man, how many boxes you want? See, that's as simple as it is. Do we need people to sow to the nightmare? 100%. Man, do we need people to serve in the nightmare? Yes. Why? Because we're going to attract people on this property. Do you understand? There is not anything like this in the world. That's what we get to be a part of in October. And you know what? I think that the old timers, people that have been around a while, we take that for granted. Man, there's people that serve in the nightmare that have never led anybody to the Lord and may very well lead hundreds of people to the Lord in the month of October. Do you know how big a deal that is to God? Well, but you know, I'm out too late. It's like, oh my gosh, we've got 13 and 14-year-old kids that are stuck to the floor because there's gel on them because they're portraying a car accident or something else like that. And you know what? And while I'm walking by, they're not saying, I want to go home. I want my mama. I'm tired. No, you know what? I know all that's true, but you know all they're asking is, what's the count? What's the count? So should you give toward it? Heck yes, you should. Should you serve in it? Yes. Well, I don't know that that's a witty way for someone to ask me to do that. I'm just telling you, if we need to trick you into doing it, we're not doing a good job. We're really not. You'll think, I'd love to get up and say, hey, you're going to have the time of your life. You know what? Some of the positions we have aren't very fun. They're really not. That seltzer boy got up and he started crying. Man, I want everyone in this room to have an opportunity to make a video and cry like a dead gum baby. I know what it's like. I've experienced that. I've gotten in front of this church and there's times where it's like words won't come out. Because emotions, and what do? Tears start coming. And let me tell you, that's passion that God gives us. See, and you got to understand that this passion in our lives, the hard thing about this is it has to be defined and it has to be developed. And then it's got to be demonstrated. And then we get to deploy it. And I know all those words. I'm not one of those preachers that I find all those words with D. It just fits. And I've been thinking about this all day. All day I'm getting up and going, Man, I want to get people. It's not because we want something from you. Do you understand that? No, you know what? We want something for you. What Jesus said, when you give a glass of water to a little one, you're giving that to me. Man, I'd rather be a water boy at the nightmare than to live in the mansion of the Pharaoh. That's what Moses said. Look it up in the Word. He'd rather be a water boy passing out water at the nightmare. I don't know what I can do. We'll give you something. I assure you, we could give you an oversized shirt that doesn't come near fitting you, put three of you in it, and put you in a parking lot and let you help you park cars. We do a good job of that, huh? Some of you guys, we just need you to size people to do it because evidently in years past, the guys that are sizing people for those shirts in the parking lot, either don't care or are blind. That's my Stevie Wonder. Here's a shirt for you, brother. Thank you for helping. I nailed that one. And when I told you the fun was over, God bless Stevie Wonder wherever he is right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you, what's it, grant is a gift, listen, that's very valuable, that gives you a leg up. How many guys, man, you think about it, man, colleges have to get grants. Man, there's a lot of churches that are trying to do what we're doing in the distribution center that get grants. Why? It gets them a leg up. Man, it gives them an advantage. It's a gift that grants you according to the riches of his glory. Now listen, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. See, this is pivotal. Man, you are a weak person unless your inner man is strong. And I'm not talking, no matter how physically strong you are, no matter how emotionally or mentally strong you are, if you're not strong in your inner man, you're weak. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in what? In love. Now listen, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, in the margin of your Bible, write, I want all of God I could get. Now to him who's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works. Now where? In us. Why? Because God's given us a grant. And see, what this does is this lays the groundwork now for a simple yet powerful word that I believe God's word has for you tonight. In John, the 13th chapter, and we're going to look at two verses, 34 and 35. It's going to be simple. Most of you guys have heard this a dozen or dozens of times. John 13, verse 34. God, I thank you right now that you bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name. A new commandment I give to you. A new commandment, a new commandment. Jesus said, look, I'm fixing to change the game. I'm fixing to level the playing field. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, that you love one another as I've loved you, by this, all will know. Now think about this. All will know. By this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. This is Jesus letting us know that this is how he wants his church to look. And I'll tell you what grieves me is if people come into our church, guests come into our church, we may not know what you've gone through or what you're going through right now. But what grieves me is that there's people that come in that need love and don't get it. Because we're in our routine, aren't we, Glenn? That's what we do on Wednesday nights. What we do, we have church, we get up, we sing a few songs, we have some announcements. Man, we get an encouraging word from Elder Scott Houston. We even throw some money in the bucket. Then we listen to a guy, to some preaching, and some people even get saved. And then we leave. No, you know what? Man, how are people going to know that we're disciples? Not because lame legs walk, not because blind eyes are open, but because we love a new commandment that you love one another. And he didn't just say love your neighbor as yourself, did he? He said love like I loved. That's how you're going to do it. Love the way I loved. This is who we are. We love people, no matter what. And the sad thing about this is this how the world sees us? I think the world sees us being political. I think the world sees us being judgmental and critical. I think the world might see us as trying to act like we're better than anybody. When Paul, arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived, said, except for the grace of God, so am I. And people just, what would people say if we just asked them to describe the church, describe Christians? Man, for so long, I just know for me, You know, I came in, I remember when I went to Bible school. Man, I had a dean who's become a dear friend of mine. I just saw him about a month ago, and he's such an incredible man of God. But he walked up to me, and he grabbed the back of my hair, and he tugged it a little bit. He pulled my hair, and he said, and I turned and looked. I'm like, somebody's pulling my hair? Are you kidding me? I mean, I've been a Christian like 6 weeks. Not even that long. And he tugged my hair, and I turned, and I looked at him, and he said, hey, about time to get that cut, isn't it? I didn't know who he was. He's a dean. He said, about time to get that cut, isn't it? I just looked at him, and he looked at me, and he said, right? I said, you know, if I were you, I'd never do that again. Just because I thought, and you know what's interesting is 2 days later, he called me in his office and apologized. He said, you know, you're right. He said, I started feeling like I was too big for my britches because of my position. You're right. I didn't treat you right there. And then he said, can you help me with this situation? And I helped him with the situation. And he and I became dear friends and are still to this day. I saw him a month ago. I saw him in July. What would people say if we'd ask them to describe, oh, you're the biker church. It's like, oh, we love what you're doing for those people. Oh, young people. Three quick thoughts about this love, okay? Can you take some notes here? Number one, this love is defined as a new commandment. And what Jesus said, and the words you have to remember is, as I have loved you. That's how he defines it. This is a different kind of love. It's as I have loved you, okay? That's how he defines it. Number two, this love has to be developed. He said that you love one another. See, here's what's interesting about church is I love you in here. It practices. I get my love reps with y'all so that when I go out there with people that are unlovely, the people that aren't saying amen, that aren't people that are not, that it's not me preaching to the choir here. I go out there, I'm good at loving people. Why? I practice. I've gotten my reps loving here. So we define it as I loved you, that you love one another is how it's developed. So much of the world is underdeveloped. Think about that. You know, I had pancreatitis about 3 weeks ago. Had my gallbladder taken out. The doctor, when she was discharging me, she said, listen, this was serious. 90% of the world, if you were in 90% of the world other than America, you would die from this. See, underdeveloped nations, underdeveloped, man, don't have the luxury, don't have the comfort, the creature comforts that we have here. See, so we have to understand that. I believe that's true outside these walls. I believe that's true out in the world, that what we've got to do is we've got to develop this love so well that we can love people that are unlovable, that are unlovely. That don't have this pretty color skin that you or I have, whether that's black or brown or white or whatever color. That we develop this so much. And so that stops and where I got arrested here, and I'm asking me here is where what part of my life needs to be developed? And I think I could ask you that. What part of your life needs to be developed? I need to be more patient. Do you understand? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's just a fruit of you being grafted into the vine. Number three, this has to be demonstrated. And what Jesus said here, all will know. And what that translates to is all will know that we're with Jesus. You know, think about Peter when Jesus even told him, he said, look, you'll deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. He gets out in the marketplace. They said, you're with him. No, I wasn't. You're with him. No, I wasn't. A little girl comes up to him and said, hey, I know him. He's with Jesus. No, I wasn't. Man, and you know what? And Peter left there and he probably wanted to commit suicide like Judas did. He probably felt like he was in that same boat. But you know what? He just said, God, I need a do-over. God, I need a do-over. That Jesus, they're out there fishing. Jesus is on the shore. They see it. And he goes, oh my gosh, that's Jesus. He tore his coat off. And he jumped in the water. And he swam to the edge. He goes and stands before Jesus. And he throws himself down. He said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus said, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, do you love me? Now, here's what's interesting. The first two times he said, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother? Those are the two guys that confronted him first in the marketplace. The third one was a little girl. And that was the one, that was the dagger for Peter. That's the one as a man he had to deal with. Man, a little girl. I cowered to a little girl. And Jesus didn't say the third time, do you flay him? He said, do you agape me? He said, yes, Lord. Oh. See, so we have to look at this, that the church is full of people that just need love. Love. Friday groceries, let's just love people. We valet it. Walmart, Target, all these people, man, will say, man, all you have to do is just, with a computer, and you can put your order in, and just pull up, and we'll fill your truck up with those groceries. You don't even have to do that at Friday Groceries. We're taking your groceries out with you. And you know what? Sometimes we have 150, 60 volunteers. Other times we may not have enough to do every cart. And let me tell you, all I can think is, why are we letting them take that cart out? The whole idea of the distribution of Friday groceries is we valet them. Man, these are people that nobody valets them. And what that is, it's just, let's just love them. Free valet service at the distribution center. Man, Jesus, I want to meet with you. Really? It's like you want to dance with Jesus? How many guys would love to dance with Jesus? Anybody in here? Yeah, there's only three men in the whole Bible that danced with Jesus. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Read the story. I don't have time to go through it. But they got to dance with Jesus. Nobody else that I've found has. You want to meet with Jesus? So how many guys want to meet with Jesus? Anybody? How many guys don't? How many guys say, you know what? I'd rather not meet with Jesus. I don't know what kind of deodorant they had there in the first century. I'm not sure No, you want to meet with Jesus? You got to help somebody with their burdens because that's what he's doing. That's all he's doing. Come to me all you are weak and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to help with your burden. Cast your care upon me because I care for you. The whole idea, man, you want to meet with Jesus, you got to help somebody with their burdens because that's what he's doing. It's easy for us to point out the problems. Right, Tay? It's easy. What I'd love to do is I'd love all you guys to take out a piece of paper, and I'd love you to write down, if I were the boss at this church, this is what I would do. And you can hand that to me, and I will read it, and I will thank you, and I will hand it back, and I will say, get after it. It's that tailgate party. It's still. Let me tell you, just a few years ago, that could have just been the Holy Ghost, man. That could have been, oh, dear God, God showed up there as confetti. It's easy for us to point out the problems. God equips us to bring solutions to people's lives. You got the answer. He's got a tank top on. Heart. So here's how you do it. See, we're the solution. We're on the clock, and here's how we do it. God, help me with the solution. God, make me the solution. What Jesus said, it's interesting, in the next chapter, John 14, he said, where I go, you don't know. But he said, I must go so that God will send another comforter, then nothing will be impossible for you. We're the answer. We're the solution. You get that? Simple message. John 13, 34 and 35. Okay, you've got to, we got to look at it. What are those D's again? Anybody remember? Huh? What? Yeah, we got to define them. Define love. Can I give you a two-word answer for love? Not me. Not me. That's where it all starts. So we have to define it. What is that? Is that helping somebody park a car? Is that helping somebody that comes out of the nightmare and they're frantic? I'll tell you what's interesting. Can I tell you a little nightmare story? The most effective thing I think we ever did at the nightmare, we had it was the Chester year. Okay? And we depicted situations where there was abuse, physical abuse, mental and emotional abuse, and sexual abuse, okay? And it's interesting because when we were talking about this church, we were so excited about it, it's going to be so effective. I was shocked that year. And really, honestly, the depths of that it got to for people, it was shocking. But this psychiatrist came to me who was in one of our services, who said, hey, Pastor, you know you're opening a can of worms with that. I said, yeah, I know. We're ready to. We're ready to go pick a fight. She said, yeah, but you understand that a lot of people have suppressed things that have happened in their life, and this is going to bring to their surface, and they're not going to know how to deal with it, so they're just going to cry. Okay, that's how they're going to act out. Emotionally, they're going to cry, and they're not even going to know why they're crying. I'm like, oh, okay, good. We can handle criers. People cry all the time. We can deal with that. And I'm telling you, the very first group that came out, there were two little girls that were crying. Both of them came up to pray with somebody, and both of them said this. One was here, and one was here, and I was here, and the people were ministering to them. Both those girls said, I don't know why I'm crying. And I thought, oh, my gosh, and I watched that night, and I watched every night. Isn't that right, Barry? Every night, people came through, and it's like, I don't know why I'm crying. Man, what if people sitting around here, they've repressed something? What if the people we work with have? Man, what if we could love the unlovely? Jesus did. He loved me when I hated him. God, I just thank you right now. God, I thank you for this service. Holy Spirit, we give you dominion in this service. God, whatever you want to do. God, help all of us, God. God, I just thank you tonight that your word is so powerful, and it impacts us and helps us in ways that we never dreamt that it could. God, I thank you that your word is alive in us and powerful in us, sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I pray for every person in this room, God, whatever they're dealing with. And God, I thank you tonight. Listen to this prayer. God, I thank you tonight that the solution is in us, the power that's in us. God, your word is working in us. God, your word, your promise is undefeated. I just tell you, the Spirit of God's arresting me right now, and I'm just going to stop and tell you, you're forgiven. Whatever guilt, whatever shame, whatever misstep you had, God forgives you. Just thank God right now for that forgiveness. Don't carry that weight. Don't carry that burden out of here. You're forgiven. You're set free. The Bible goes so far as to say, whom the Son set free is free indeed, is absolutely free. So you can't say, well, you don't know what I've done, or you don't know what I've been through, or you don't, no, I don't. And I could probably compare what I've done stories with you. and beat most of you. But it doesn't matter because we're free indeed. We're absolutely free. Okay, so you have that opportunity tonight. You got to choose freedom, though. You got to choose to receive that forgiveness. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you, what you've been through. And let me just tell you, some of you guys have had loved ones. I'm not saying that because I saw anybody in here, but I just know you have had loved ones that have either left or maybe passed. And it leaves a hole in our souls. It's like, oh my gosh. But you know what? Only God fills those holes. We can't look for anything else to fill it.